This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast, part two of our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Questions come to us via radio program at AOL.com. Keep those great questions coming, because we love answering them.
Yes. We have a question here, an email from Tara. My son was recently diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. We caught it before he lost all of his functioning beta cells. I've been reading different books on diabetes and came across some information about niacinamide. And I asked my son's endocrinologist about it, and she recommended I contact you. What say you, Dr. Hoffman?
Okay. This is something that I have been all over. Mm-hmm. At the very time that this came out as a potential strategy, I was treating a type 1, just such a case, a young man who came to me just beginning to have diabetes. Now, what we're talking about here is that it's very different from type 2 diabetes, where you generally get progressively fatter and fatter and fatter.
Yeah.
And at first you have too much insulin, and then your pancreas gets exhausted and stops making insulin, mm-hmm. kind of gets tired mm-hmm. of pumping out all that insulin. And then you become, instead of a type 2 or non-insulin dependent diabetic, you become an insulin dependent diabetic in older age, usually.
Yes.
Now, in type 1 diabetes, it's different. It's an autoimmune disease mm-hmm. where the islets of Langerhans, which are the little tiny glands within the pancreas that secrete insulin, mm-hmm. are destroyed
yeah.
by an autoimmune attack. It is an autoimmune attack on the islets, specifically on that targets the islets of Langerhans and wipes them out. And then you no longer have the capacity to produce your own insulin.
Yeah.
But it's a process. It's not like it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process that occurs gradually, as in many autoimmune diseases. The destruction occurs over a period of time. And it often happens in either childhood or adolescence, mm-hmm. Usually by the time you're 20. And what's interesting about it is that they have linked this to certain genetic types mm-hmm. so that it may be possible in the future to predict who's at risk. And then what can you do? Well, actually, one strategy has been tested, which is to avoid dairy products.
Yes.
Dairy products, I mean, not to say that dairy products uniformly cause diabetes.
Casein is problematic.
But casein is problematic yeah. for people who are genetically predisposed. Now, mm-hmm. if we could come up in the future with a very detailed genetic profiling that we can do to assess risks for babies when they're born,
yeah.
As we do with some genetic diseases, we actually test for certain genetic diseases when babies are born, like phenylketonuria.
Yes.
PKU. Mm-hmm. But we may be able to do this with many diseases. We might be able to say, well, you are at somewhat higher risk and you might do well with avoidance of dairy. Is there a gluten connection? Perhaps there is also a gluten connection as well.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to protection from niacinamide, this was actually treated. This was actually tried out. It was trialed, I believe, in the 90s. And what they found was that treatment with high doses of nicotinamide or niacinamide, that's just ordinary vitamin B3,
mm-hmm.
and the dosage, I think, was used about 1,500 milligrams a day, which is a fairly high dosage
mm-hmm.
In the human trials, that it was thought to have the potential to prevent or delay the progression of this autoimmune attack. It wouldn't stop it, but it would maybe mitigate it so that you have a little bit of insulin capacity afterwards, which makes it, you know, you still need some insulin, but you may need less.
Right, right.
Well, it didn't pan out. It didn't mm-hmm. pan out in human trials. So, here I'm looking at a 2004 study, a randomized trial of nicotinamide and vitamin E. Well, they thought, hey, add an antioxidant. Maybe that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, What they found is that the use of niacinamide alone or in combination with vitamin E is able to preserve baseline C-peptide secretion for up to 2 years after diagnosis. Now, other studies have actually refuted that. So this is the latest study. So I would say that there's some benefit.
Okay.
But ultimately...
It's not the whole kit and caboodle.
No, I would say that the latest studies have not shown it effective. Now, as to the anecdote I'm sharing with you about this patient ended up being insulin dependent, became an insulin dependent diabetic. But this is 20 years later. I mean, it's when I was in my earlier years of practice, and he's doing really well. He's really well controlled. So, did that help? Did some of the things we did and are continue to do for him? Because he's on a slew of supplements that protect him. And by the way, you know, if you become an insulin dependent diabetic, you must take certain supplements. You really should be taking quercetin because quercetin helps with the sorbitol pathway, the polyol pathway that leads to cataracts and nerve damage.
Wow.
Quercetin's protective. You really should be taking adequate vitamin D. You should be taking higher doses of vitamin C because of, high blood sugar depletes vitamin C.
Magnesium.
What's of interest in this niacinamide discussion is that there is a newer version of B3, which is nicotinamide riboside. And that has actually shown some potential for slowing various degenerative processes. And I just, neurodegenerative diseases, possibly maybe having an impact on autoimmunity and maybe having an impact on insulin resistance. And maybe that's the next thing to test in this context.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll mount a clinical trial in the near future, but I would say that that could be part of a program for someone who is progressing towards type 1, towards insulin dependency with type 1 diabetes.
Wow. Okay. So, Tara, there is your comprehensive answer.
And finally, another study at a little later, 2006, there was no difference when it says, type 1 diabetes prevention using standard nicotinamide is feasible but fails to prevent or delay the disease onset in the dose that was used. The dose that was used in this study was 1.2 grams per day or 1,200 milligrams.
Which is not a low dose, but...
Yeah, so I think it's... It's not a big deal to take it. You know, it's not a lot of risk in taking it. It's relatively inexpensive. I would try it. It wouldn't hurt.
The fact that Tara says that it was caught before her son lost all of the functioning beta cells is actually great. You do need to maintain a very low-carb diet, and that should not include any casein, really, because of the autoimmune aspect, even gluten. That almost goes without saying, because any grain is too high in carbohydrate.
Right. I mean, I would treat it like any other autoimmune disease, and a paleo diet would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Last year we reviewed the book Paleo Diet for Autoimmunity.
Yes.
This is a form of autoimmunity. And so that would be highly recommended.
Yes.
Something along those lines. Because it is low glycemic index and also its immunogenicity.
Yeah.
The potential for it to interact harmfully with the immune system and promote autoimmunity is less because you're eliminating the key foods which are... challenging to the immune system, the so-called modern foods that are introduced past the Industrial Revolution, the Agricultural Revolution.
That our immune systems still have trouble with because our genetics haven't quite caught up to any of this. Maybe in 500,000 years we'll be able to eat those foods, but then we will be able to tolerate plastic too. And BPA and knows what.
In 500,000 years, we'll have machine parts.
Right. That's true.
And, we'll just regrow, we'll regenerate our organs and just regrow them.
Between hip replacements, knee replacements, and cataracts, we're already semi-bionic. Okay.
Right.
Tara, best of luck to your son. Thank you for your question.
This is a good point at which to pause and allow one of our sponsors to share this message with you. So here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for continuing to support our sponsors. They are what makes this podcast possible as a free resource to you. So support them. And now back to our questions. Layla, what's next?
Yes, Tony sent an email. I struggle with blepharitis. I've done hundreds of things to try and heal. Five eye specialists, herbalists, naturopath, integrative doctors. Not one of them has a clue. I don't have an autoimmune disease. I read everything I can on the subject. I take articles to different professionals for help. It's crazy frustrating. I've even gone to a dermatologist. Wow, Tony.
Well, thanks for making us the your very last stop. Your very last stop on your
journey. She's been to integrative doctors and so forth.
Well, it's hard for me to know, you know, what they've tried. I mean, as so often happens, you know, we do see patients like this. They said, I've tried everything.
Yeah.
And usually we'll go through the list of what they tried. And usually they haven't really tried everything, but we'll kind of carefully catalog, you know, tried this, no response, tried that, no response. So we know already that they're not going to respond to certain basic things. What happens is that it's sort of a 80-20 principle is that, you know, after a while, you're going to respond. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's a residual of people who don't seem to respond to anything. But, you know, in terms of simple remedies, you know, obviously a low-sugar diet,
yes.
Avoiding food allergens.
Yes.
Possibly, again, we come back to an elimination diet, paleo diet,
yeah.
Something along those lines.
Tony says she doesn't have an autoimmune disease, but I want to treat it like she does.
Well,
almost.
Yeah, I mean,
being
also,
paleo, being gluten,
I mean,
casein-free, all of that may be helpful.
With a natural approach, you know, obviously, there's no specific vitamin supplement program for blepharitis. There's not like one magical vitamin that banishes it. So unlike perhaps other conditions. So, you know, it's not a bad idea to undertake a, you know, a clean natural program. She's obviously done that.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are some of the others? Well, you know, one of the things that is a traditional treatment for blepharitis is to use a little baby shampoo on a Q-tip and apply that to the eyelids. They're tiny glands. They're called meibomian glands. And these glands secrete oil that lubricates the eyelashes. You know, the glands, you know, may be in trouble, that they need to be, you know, gently cleaned, and baby shampoo is well tolerated near the eyes. That's why they call it baby shampoo. It doesn't sting the eyes.
Assuming Tony's not wearing that much eye makeup, and if you are, that could certainly exacerbate this problem.
There are different types of blepharitis. We don't know what type this is.
Yeah.
There's, you know, anterior blepharitis, and there's posterior blepharitis, and there's also, it's also associated with ocular rosacea, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, the, you know, some natural remedies you can also apply, black tea bags to your eyes, you know, sort of like an astringent that you can use, but obviously not hot tea bags, you know, cold tea bags that have been used already. You know, avoid makeups that can irritate the thing.
And avoid makeup that's old. Some women are keeping their makeup around for past 6 months, a year or something. It's a great trap for bacteria and all of that. So you want to change that out often. So that could be something. Wow. All right. Tony, so sorry you're suffering with this.
I'll tell you what, we'll make a note that if we discover a surefire cure for blepharitis, that we will
talk about it. Yeah.
You know, that's something that, I mean, may, sometimes, you know, we'll come across a condition that, you know, in January of a certain year, there's just no plausible avenue of treatment. And then all of a sudden in August, an article appears that this is like, research is now documenting the efficacy of whatever, you know, blueberry extract or something
right,
like that.
Right, yeah. Tony, best of luck to you. All right. We have an email from Marianne. Dear Dr. Hoffman, thank you for all you do to educate me and your audience. I'm a faithful listener.
That's, by the way, you know, I got to say, I was really gratified. You put a little New Year's greeting in on Facebook, and that was the theme of a lot of people's responses, that, you know, people are thankful that, you know, and this is our life's work, that we're on the hustings looking for answers to their most pressing health issues, and also interpreting some of the news stories that, you know, when you get a news story from, you know, Reuters or AP, or it's in the New York Times or Washington Post, people go, wow, oh, you know, I don't, why are they saying that? And then we can do because of our access to the scientific references and our ability to understand and interpret them, we have the ability to provide some perspective
right.
on some of the more important health stories of the year. That's our mission statement. That's what we do.
Yes.
We call it intelligent medicine. I guess that's as good a name as any for what it is we do. And a lot of
Absolutely.
People seem to find that a useful adjunct to their menu of daily, mm-hmm. that deluge, that fire hose of information that they get every day.
Yeah. So Marianne asks, regarding your recent podcast with Jim LaValle, there's a certain greens product that he talks about. Marianne wants to know, will these greens raise blood sugar and insulin? Are they appropriate for a low-carb diet? What about for somebody with gluten sensitivity or wheat allergy?
Okay, so Kyo Greens is the product that we're talking about. And it's a good quality greens powdered drink mix however, when it comes to people who have celiac disease, I wouldn't recommend it because it has barley and wheat grass in it. And while the gluten content of grasses is much less than the seed, the grain, it's still, you know, potentially problematic. So if you really need strict avoidance, I would say stay away from that product with celiac disease. Now, if you have gluten intolerance, that's a little different. And a lot of people who have gluten intolerance, they can take...
something like wheatgrass.
Yeah, they can take like a small amount of that, and that's not going to throw them for a loop. But if they were to eat like a bagel or something, that could be problematic for them. The carbohydrate content, I looked in vain for the carbohydrate content of the... Kyo Greens blend powder. I think you can probably correspond with the folks at Kyolic who make it. It's kyolic.com is the website. And it looks like there are some carbohydrates in it, but there's no sugar. There's just a very little bit of potato starch in it.
Okay.
But it's not. Yeah. It's more for consistency than to give you a caloric whammo.
Yes. Yes.
And it's got guar gum, which is also a little bit of a thickener. And guar gum is a nice fiber that
is
a nice effect.
It's used often for people with gluten sensitivity, too, as a texturizer.
Right.
Or to help replace anything that's a
To give it a sort of smooth texture, you know, not a watery, thin texture. So it's, you know, certainly suitable for vegans. It's got no animal products in it. And... one caveat, though, is it says mix 1 teaspoon of powder with 6 to 8 ounces, 1 cup of juice or water. Now, once you mix it with juice,
then it's
all bets are off.
Right.
Yeah, all
right.
bets are off.
So use water instead, and that would probably be the best way to go.
Yeah.
So this would be an appropriate
It's got a little licorice extract in it as a natural sweetener, you know, so it gives it a little sweetness and flavor.
Do you suppose that since it's got a little licorice extract that this may be problematic for anybody with any blood pressure?
No, I don't think so, because it's probably a tiny amount.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't say that that's significant.
Just enough
significant.
To help the adrenals a little bit.
If you guzzle it, if you go on a, 10 packets a day.
Right.
Or 10 scoops a day, you know, maybe.
Eat your food.
Right.
Eat your greens, too.
Right.
Eat your greens.
And I'm all for eating greens, too. I mean, I think it's this product we talked about, it's an adjunct. It's not a substitute. You know, it's like, but if you're on the road like I was and, you know, maybe, you know, you're checking into, some of those roadside places, they just.
Oh, they're all fast food.
Oh, boy.
All those rest stops.
We really had, so I wouldn't have minded a packet of Kaya greens to add to some, go to the drinking fountain and, you know, put my packet of Kaya greens in there. I would have had at least something green because everything there was fried and, you know, gray. Although, you know, they now offer salads. Mm-hmm. They offer salads, but.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You got to wonder.
Iceberg lettuce. And
Iceberg lettuce.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay, Marianne, we hope that answers your question. And thank you.
The Walt Whitman rest area.
Yes,
the on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Yes. You know. Oh, my.
The Joyce Kilmer rest area. And Joyce Kilmer, you know who Joyce Kilmer was?
No.
The poem. I think that I shall never see a palm as lovely as a tree. Joyce Kilmer. That, in my opinion, is the worst poem ever written. But they named a rest area on the New Jersey Turnpike after him.
Wow.
You or I will never have that distinction.
Please don't name a rest area after me.
No, exactly.
Especially with those types of food.
Right. Because you got Wendy's, you got the pizza place.
Yeah. Do we have time?
Yes. Oh, actually, we're running a little short.
I know. It just flies so fast.
Well, we're goofing around here.
Yeah.
Is such a thing as a quick question?
This is not a quick one. This is one we would have to spend a little bit of time. So maybe next week.
Okay. So let's.
Honestly.
Let's hit pause.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we usually don't get so carried away, but we're. The time is short. So let's put some of the additional questions on hold for next week.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate you sharing some of your valuable time with us. And we'll be back next week for another edition of our weekly Q&A with Layla. Send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. And once again, a very, very happy, successful, and healthy 2018.
And prosperous new year. Thank you for listening.
To you and your families.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.